But we are going to do our start with our Wednesday night series, Pathways to Blessing. And as I told you on Sunday, Wednesday nights are my absolute favorite because we are really able to dig deep into the scriptures and glean, dig, mine for good, solid biblical truths that will help us in the days and in the times that the Lord will see fit to have us go through. So hopefully you got your handout, about half a page, and you got your handout. If you didn't, you're not going to bother anybody by jumping up and going to get one right now, or somebody can go get one for you. They're right there on the back table. Did y'all get them when you came in? Okay, good. All right. So we're going to fill in some blanks tonight. And the reason for the handouts is so you can also have the back page to take other notes. It's blank, and then fill in the blanks along with me as we go through our study in Psalm 1 tonight. And I believe when you write a few things down, you remember them a little bit better. When you take a few notes, when you get physically involved in something, it's a lot easier to recollect it when you need it. And Psalm 1 is certainly one of those chapters in the Bible that demands our attention because it starts out with a promise of a blessing. And I want you to be blessed. How many of you in here want to be blessed? Right? Okay, we are even in a Baptist church, 100% committed to that, except for Emma. Emma, do you want to be blessed? Okay, good. She didn't raise her hand, but I was making sure that she wanted to be blessed. So, you know as well as I do that the pace of life varies from day to day, right? Some days are pretty fast. Some days kind of go pretty slow. I had several real fast-paced days several years ago, and we were leading up into a Saturday, and it just happened to be that there were like three or four really good college football games coming on that Saturday. And I told Kim on Friday, I said, I'm not doing anything tomorrow. I am sitting in front of the TV, and I may not even eat or drink anything. I'm just going to sit in front of the TV, I'm going to watch football, and I'm going to rest all day tomorrow because it's just been, you know, one of those fast-paced weeks. And Kim, as you get to know her, you probably know her well enough already, she cannot sit still. She has always got to be doing something. And so 11 o'clock rolls around, man. I'd rolled out of bed about 9 and kind of watched all the football pregame stuff and getting ready for the first game that starts at 11, and I watched the whole game, 11 to 3. The next game comes on at 2:30, so we flip over to that, and I watch that whole game till 6. There's a night game that comes on. I watch that entire game till 10:30 at night. I just got up, really, to go to the restroom and to get a cracker, right? That's all I did all day long. And so every so often, she would walk by, and she'd just stare at me. I mean, you know, it's just because she's vacuumed the house. I guess, raise my legs up for her to vacuum under the chair, right? That's about all I did all day long. I did one setup that day. I got out of bed and I laid back down in bed. One setup. That's all I did all day long. And because it had just been a tiring, exhausting week. And she'd look at me and she'd just shake her head. And about the fourth or fifth, tenth time she did that, I said, Kim, I told you yesterday I wasn't doing anything today. I am resting all day long because I know Sunday's coming, right? And I know I've got to be rested for tomorrow. And she's like, I just can't even believe. I can say these things because she's not here tonight. But she's like, I just can't believe you can sit there and do nothing all day. And I go, man, I can do nothing very well, especially when I'm as tired as what I am because the pace of life just can get overwhelming at times, right? Sometimes we get a little of both. We'll get the fast pace one day and get to slow down the next. But depending on the season of life that we are in, okay, could also be the huge determining factor. no matter where we sit today, fast pace or slow pace, our life is described as a walk. You know that, right? Because our life, we know if we run out of energy, ultimately. If we walk consistently, physically, we do a little bit more better, right? That's good English, isn't it? We are able then to consistently move. If we start off fast, we run out. There's an expression in track that, in especially the quarter mile, the one lap race, 400 meters is what they call it today because we go by meters now in track. But the one lap around, you always can tell, especially in high school runners, the ones that have gone out too fast, because that second curve, you see the monkey jump on their back, and that's the expression that we always used. So you have to know in our lives that even though the pace may vary, our Christian walk with the Lord needs to be that, a walk, paced, patterned, even organized. I want to, and I will continue to challenge you to have a daily time with the Lord that is at a consistent time and in a consistent place. Because that way you know that you're going to be there, and guess who else knows? Jesus knows you're going to be there. So who wants to meet with you? Yeah, your best friend wants to meet with you right there every single day. So we need to make that a habit as a part of our walk. This walk, as we will see in Psalm 1, is a journey. And we want to find blessing in this journey. Don't you? Right? Want to find blessing in this journey. Do you know, again, that the word blessed is used 302 times in the Bible? It is contained in 287 verses in the Bible. So I think God might be trying to tell us something. He wants us to be blessed if He talks about it that much and that often. So for the sake of establishing a starting point, let's get a good, solid, biblical definition of what it means to be blessed. That is the very first question or statement on your handout tonight. The definition of blessing is to have in your heart a joy and contentment in God, no matter what the circumstance of your life might be. It's also on the screen if you need the help in the fill in the blanks. We want everybody to get a 100, A plus tonight. So, definition of blessing is to have in your heart a joy and contentment in God, no matter what the circumstance of your life might be. So, the second part of this phrase is, to know blessing is to have personally experienced redemption through believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior. To know real blessing is to have personally experienced redemption through believing in Jesus Christ as Savior. The world that does not know Jesus Christ is always looking, searching, feeling, trying to find what we're talking about. And that's why we should be challenged always to be the light of the world, because we can know this kind of blessing in our life. Okay, we can. We can have joy and contentment no matter what the circumstance may be. There's a couple of references here that I want to use real quick even before we get to Psalm 1, because I think you ought to see in Scripture James chapter 1 and verse 3 is one of the verses in the Bible that you love to hate, right? James chapter 1 and verse 3 says, count it all, verse 2 rather, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various diverse temptations. Don't you love to hate that verse? James 1, 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse, various temptations. Are you kidding me? How many of you are praising the Lord when you slam your finger with a hammer? Right? Or when you stump your toe in the middle of the night? Do you know, I had something happen to me a few weeks ago when we were boxing up the house, and our house was a total maze. Okay, and it just got worse and worse, or as they say, worser and worser. I mean, it was. And one night I got up from my chair and I was I'd evidently fallen asleep. That ever happened to you guys? I'd fallen asleep and I was just a little bit dazed, and I walked over and I hit my knee on the side of one of those boxes. And you know what? I went, oh, and I was the only one in the room. It was pretty late at night because I'm a late night stayer up, right? I'm the last one to bed every night. And I went, oh, that really hurt. And you know, I sat down in the chair and I kind of massaged my knee a little bit, and I went, okay, it's going to be all right. I don't need to go get Kim up and, you know, get everything, the ice bag and all that. I'm going to be okay. And, you know, and I sat down, as I sat down in the chair, you know, I went, man, you know what? That was kind of a blessing. Because I often wonder in those immediate times, it's easy because we live in a society that talks dirty, you know? And it's kind of easy to even rub off on us that we might talk dirty. You know what I'm saying? We might actually blurt out a cuss word in that moment. And as I sat down in the chair and was massaging my knee, I went, man, Lord, that was a blessing that I didn't even cuss right there. I was the only one in the room. I just went, oh, that really hurt. I mean, and I thought, well, that's a blessing. You know that the Lord even takes that kind of a situation out. I was all by myself. Nobody would have even known if I would have screamed out any kind of an obscenity at the time. But I thought, man, God, that's really nice. That's really a blessing. Of course, my knee hurt for a couple of days later, but that's okay. You know, I thought that's a good lesson to learn, that maybe, you know, maybe my walk with the Lord is getting to the place. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't have a filthy mouth, and I never really have. But being in a society that does, and we're around people all the time that do, listen, I got to tell you something. It bothers me that people cuss around me. You know, even after they know I'm a pastor, they still kind of cuss around. It's just kind of the way of the world today, but it shouldn't be our way. It shouldn't be the way we talk. And one of the ways we know our walk with the Lord is closer and closer and closer is to know that we are less and less and less like the world, even in our talk. So that is, again, one of those verses that we love to hate, where we are to count it all joy to be blessed, no blessing, even in the midst of various diverse temptations. And then, you know, just very simply, Psalm 107, verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Okay, let's practice that, all right? It's a Wednesday night. You guys may be in the depths of something, but let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Okay, we can do this. I promise we can do this. I'm not a cheerleader, but if I need to put a skirt on, I will. Let the redeemed of the Lord say
so.
Yes, because it is. It is something that we know. It is something we rejoice about. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Man, isn't that good? So the first couple of things is we define blessing. As we define blessing, we know that it is to have joy and contentment no matter what the circumstance. James 1, verse 2 says, consider it all joy, count it all joy when you fall into diverse various temptations. And then we know as a redeemed child of God, we can say so because we have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I'm about to start getting excited now. All right, and I hope you are too as we go along. So with these thoughts as our baseline, let's discover a pathway to blessing here in Psalm 1. All right, in Psalm 1, we're going to get a very interesting verse. And one of the things that we need to set up right now and establish is I don't ever want to be in a hurry to get through the Bible or to get through Bible study. So what time do we get finished on Wednesday nights usually? Because there's choir practice still, right, and everything? At 8? Okay, I think I can do it. I think I can. All right, I just wanted to make sure that we're going to stop at about 8 o'clock. But one thing that we don't do is get in a hurry. So we're only going to look at three verses. Three verses. The first verse says, blessed is the man that walketh not, by the way, that word man is human. Who is human here? That's all of us, right? So we're not just talking about men, we're talking about humans, men and women, boys and girls alike. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Do you see that? And even on your handout, there's the bold type, not, nor, and nor. Okay? So, in essence, what we're getting from verse 1 is, don't do this, nor this, nor this. Sometimes we need to know where not to go in order to know where to go first. And that's the way this psalm begins with, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In the deep, dark world in which we live, it is no wonder this psalm begins with this sort of instruction. So we find that we will be blessed when we, this is our first fill in the blank there, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. And then quickly we note anything ungodly is what? Of the devil. Right? It's either of God or it's of the devil. Am I right? Is that biblical? Yes. So anything ungodly is of the devil. I really believe that is pretty simple. However, this instruction is not even to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So, counsel, our next fill in the blank, counsel would be the advice or plan or plans of the ungodly. So think about that for a second. Who are you taking advice from in your life? Who are you planning your life according to? Okay, now let's think about the second one first for a second. I watch an inordinate amount of golf on television. Okay? I confess, hello, my name is Daniel. I watch way too much golf. Okay? I don't know why. I just enjoy it. It calms me or something. I just really enjoy it. So you watch 5 minutes of golf, and about 15 minutes of commercials, and almost every commercial is some sort of a financial planning commercial, okay? Where Edward Jones or all of the other TD Price, I mean, all these investment companies are wanting to plan out the rest of my life for me. Who am I taking advice from? Who am I taking counsel of? Even in my finances, am I taking Edward Jones' financial plans, or am I listening to the Lord who may say, you know what? I've blessed you with an awful lot. Why are you tearing down your small barns in favor of big barns when I blessed you with that so you could bless a missionary with it? You see what I'm saying? Whose plan are we listening to? Is it the counsel of the ungodly, or are we listening to the Lord in our planning? Now, the advice kind of should speak for itself, shouldn't it? But how many times are we listening to the advice of the weatherman when he says it's not going to rain and we didn't take our umbrellas and it rained? Right? Well, that's a simple kind of illustration, but take that two or three or four steps forward and we find many times we are taking advice from the ungodly, and ungodly advice is leading us down an ungodly path. You know, and can I give you a little bit of just hopefully pastoral advice here? Turn the news off. Pray for your country. Yes, as we mentioned, pray for the country. But turn the news off. They're only telling you what they want you to hear so that you can be so riled up about things. And I learned this back in the 90s when the slick one was in office. Right? I learned this because Rush Limbaugh made $1 billion during those 8 years. Right? He was made a very rich man because of Bill Clinton being in office. And he, of course, is still around today and all that stuff. But I used to listen to him during that time. And I guarantee you, I was so mad. And I'm not an angry person. But I just wanted to, I don't know, do something crazy. Because I listened to him and he'd just get me so riled up because I was taking his advice. And I was already in the ministry, and I'd come into my teenagers, and I'd just start banging on stuff because I was just so riled up. And I thought that's the way I was supposed to be as a Christian. And then I thought, you know what? That's not the way to live blessed. I don't feel very blessed because I'm taking somebody else's advice as to the way I should live, be, think, act as an American. And it hadn't gotten any better, has it? By the way, it's not going to get any better. You guys realize that, right? I mean, we are getting ready, and God is getting things ready, and nothing that's going on today surprises Him. And we know where we're going. So we need to be advised according to the Scriptures. And stay calm. Jesus is still on the throne. Amen. Everybody's going to be all right that knows Him. Will we go through some hard times? Absolutely. That's what this whole world was. Does God promise that if you love the Lord, you'll be persecuted for it? Absolutely, He does. Because that's just the way of the world. Did Jesus get persecuted for being here? Sure He did. To death. So we need to, again, taking advice or plans from the ungodly is not wise. That's why we should not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor should we stand. Should we stand in the way of sinners? So, standing is to be firmly fixed in place. So if we are standing firmly fixed in place, eventually we just do what? Take a seat. And what do? We take a seat with the scornful. It's an interesting thing to Scorn is to scoff or to mock. And that's where we are heading with the not, nor, and nor. So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. By the way, the English word here, scornful, comes from the Hebrew word lut, which lends to someone interceding for someone in another language, giving them the ability to understand how to be like them, how to talk like them. So if we're hanging around ungodliness, guess what ultimately happens? We walk there, we then stand there, and we end up sitting there. You see the progress or the process that is going on here? And blessed is the man that does not do any of those things. And I think about a great biblical example of somebody who did these things. Lot. What happened to Lot? Well, you know the story. Go back and read it in Genesis. If you don't know the story, it's in about Genesis chapter 11 is where it starts, ends up in 19 with the raining down of the fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lot and Abraham had a problem. They were too blessed. And so Abraham said, Lot, we're not going to have your cattle guys getting upset with my cattle guys, so you choose a way to go, and I'll go the other way. And what did Lot do? He lifted up his eyes, the Bible says, and he looked and he saw the well-watered plain of the Sodom Valley, is what it was, Sodom and Gomorrah in the valley there. And so what did he do? He took counsel, advice in what he saw. Boy, our eyes will deceive us. Let me just tell you that right now. And so he saw that and he started walking in that way. And he settled somewhere outside of town. You continue to read and all of a sudden Lot is living in Sodom. The next thing you know, he is sitting in the gate of Sodom. You know that, right? So he has gone from seeing, walking in bad counsel, to ultimately, hey, this isn't so bad. I'm standing around, you know, kind of living on the outskirts, getting kind of involved. And then all of a sudden, he is at the gate. You know what that means, right? He was the mayor. He was one of the elders of the city. He was recognized as one of the leaders in town. Why? Because he walked, he stood, and ultimately he sat. It's the progression. And that, of course, is the antithesis of what we're talking about here, because I don't think Lot was very blessed, do you? Peter tells us that he was a just man. He was righteous. He knew better. You and I know better as believers in Jesus Christ. We know or should know the way to blessing, but are we doing these things? Walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, sitting in the seat of the scornful? If we are, we are making unwise choices. And those choices, the psalmist is telling us, will lead us to not be blessed. So that's why we should not, nor. Okay? Now, let's look at verse number 2. So verse 2 starts out with a conjunctive phrase, a word, but. So that is verse 2 for us. We flip the coin over and we find out that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The one who will receive blessing, again, joy and commitment from the Lord, will find his or her delight in something else, not in the counsel of the ungodly, way of sinners, seat of the scornful. The delight will be in the law of the Lord. Let's remember, just for a moment, we're in the Old Testament, right? Psalms is in the Old Testament, correct? Am I right? Okay, you still awake? Still with me? Psalms is in the Old Testament. So, this would make sense for the psalmist to say. He would know the way to blessing is to please God through the keeping of the law, the commandments. How else would he keep the law unless he knew the law? And how do you get to know the law? Right? You study it. You read it. You meditate on it. That's the way to let it absorb into your mind. So as New Testament believers in Jesus Christ, we know that He, Jesus, fulfilled the law for us, thus redeeming us from our sins and the inability to keep the law, because none of us have been able to ever keep the law. There is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10 tells us that. But we still need to know the blessing of the Lord on our lives, and this can only happen, the blessing of the Lord on our lives can only continue to happen when we do His will. In essence, when we keep the commands, when we keep the law, when we do what God wants us to do. Is it lawful to kill somebody? Are you with me? It's not lawful to kill somebody, is it? Right? Is it lawful to want somebody else's stuff? Mm-mm. Is it lawful to lie? No. It's not. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us. That's why we are to be in the Word, so that we know what God has for us to do. And listen, God is paving a way to blessing for us. It's not just a bunch of rules and regulations He wants us to follow because He just wants to be some kind of a taskmaster in our lives. He knows the way to blessing. Do you believe Jesus was blessed when He was on the earth? Absolutely He was. Do you think Jesus had everything He needed while He was on the earth? Sure He was, because the Father provided for Him. Just as He will for us as we follow the Lord and His will. So finding out how to accomplish His will is found in the pages of Scripture. The psalmist describes this pathway to blessing will be found in our delighting in God's Word. This is where we find our next fill in the blank. To delight is to find pleasure through our intense desire for the value of Scripture. Okay? To delight is to find pleasure through our intense desire for the value of Scripture. I promise we are going to seek that in our lives, because it's a natural tendency for us all to seek some sort of pleasure. We just, especially as Americans, we like our creature comforts, don't we? We like our easy chairs. We like our remote controls. We like our internet to work fast and right all the time and all of these things. We are, because that's where we will sometimes seek our pleasure. But think about this spiritually for a moment. Are we seeking pleasure in the Scriptures? I've found an astonishing thing over the last couple of years that one of my favorite books in the Bible is becoming Leviticus. I know that's weird. I even have to look at myself in the mirror and go, really, am I enjoying Leviticus? I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there that's kind of like, ooh, that's kind of wild and weird, but there are things, there are certain nuggets in Leviticus that are absolutely phenomenal. In fact, you know, you're, as a pastor, your Super Bowl message for the year is Resurrection Sunday, right? And I preached out of Leviticus last Resurrection Sunday. I was like, man, this is getting pretty good. If there's such good stuff there. And what is Leviticus? It's the law. It's the law. And that is where we are going to find our blessing. When we meditate there, when we delight ourselves, finding intense desire for the value of Scripture, this is to be done how? How? In verse 2, meditating day and night. Make a habit of reading the Bible a couple of times a day if you can. Read it in the morning. Read it again right before you go to bed. Doesn't have to be a huge chunk of Scripture. It could just be verses. It can just be a few here and there. It would be great. And remember Joshua 1:8 with me. Joshua 1:8, the only time this word is used in the Bible, and you will like it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's the only time that word's used in the Bible. Again, if you want to be blessed, do you also want to be successful? You want to have success in your life? Absolutely. And it's all surrounded with, encompassed by, the Word of God. Then we get to verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In Israel, just like here in West Texas, a strong, healthy tree stands out and is a prized possession of the owner. How many of you have nice trees at your place? Or at least one nice tree? Raise your hand. I want to know. You got at least one nice... How many of you make sure you take care of that tree or that group of trees or whatever? Why? Because we are in a place where trees are, you know, we don't have trees like they do in Northeast Oklahoma here, I'll guarantee you that. When we lived up there, man, trees are trees there. And there's a lot of different kinds of varieties. Here and around here, man, if you've got a pretty live oak tree, you are blessed, right? And it kind of stands out. Israel, same kind of topography. Do you guys realize that? Did you know that? Do you know that about the setting of Israel? That Israel and West Texas are very similar, similar rainfall amounts, similar topography, with the exception of the fact that Israel has large valleys and just mountains that go up out of those valleys. I mean, just big old mountains up out of the valleys. It's beautiful, stunning, but the climate is very similar to Texas. So the one who is blessed is going to stand out as a prized possession of the Lord, just like that tree stands out on your property that you are so proud of. God says, I am proud of you like you are proud of that tree. So I want you to be blessed. He says, shall be like that tree planted by the rivers of water. The tree symbolizing our life in Christ is standing near the rivers of water. The unique thought about this tree is that it has been planted there on purpose in this strategic location. So we learn that upon our redemption, we are the seed in God's hand to be planted where He chooses and supplied for where He plants us. That's what we learn from that verse, as a tree planted by the rivers of water. Doesn't that kind of take us right back to Sunday and the woman at the well a little bit? How that God says, I'll be a well of water springing up within your soul. No matter the season of life, when our lives are likened to the description here, we are promised three things. Fruit in His season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. So let's look at that as we conclude here. Fruit will be produced in season naturally through the tree. Fruit will be produced in season naturally through the tree. It's February. It's not time for pecans, is it? It's February. It's not time for peaches yet. If your peach tree starts blooming out here in the next few days, Apricot trees are pretty notorious this time of year and go ahead and blooming out, right? But it's really not the time for apricots. That's why we don't have many apricots around here. So understand, fruit is produced in season naturally. And you can look over in John chapter 15 and see the fruit situation. We don't have time to talk about it tonight. But God is the one who produces the fruit through us. And He does it naturally. It's not anything we have to force. Okay? The leaves, very simply, are the sign of the life of the tree. Isn't that right? I mean, if you walk up to a tree that doesn't have any leaves on in the middle of summertime, you know what? That tree is dead. There is no life in that tree. But the one who is blessed, even in the hot, scorching summer, has been planted, has the root system down in the river of life, Jesus Christ, so that it is going to have adequate moisture to help sustain that root in the tough times. Even if you're planted in a dry riverbed, Jesus is going to take care of you. He will bless you and me, even in those seasons, because the leaves are the sign of life. And then lastly, there is the prosperity. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Prosperity here means to push forward towards being profitable in God's hands. Pushing forward towards being profitable in God's hands. Now let me just tell you very quickly the difference between an Italian family and a Jewish family. The Italian family, Jewish family, the mom's getting the child ready for school, and the Italian mom says, "Son, don't forget your cannoli. Don't forget your lunch," in other words. The Jewish family, the Jewish mom takes the son or the daughter and brings them very close and says, "Son, daughter, you are blessed and highly favored in the Lord." Because the Jewish mom knows that that child is blessed and highly favored. Many times all we're concerned with our children is that their lunch is okay, not that they know that they are blessed and highly favored. So as His chosen child, redeemed by the blood of His precious Son, Jesus Christ, you have the privilege of having your life filled with joy and contentment no matter the circumstances. This gives us license then to go out and be a blessing to someone who needs a blessing, to be a light where God leads you to be a light.